You would open your Bibles to the New Testament. 1 Timothy, and if you would, hold your finger there and open it up to also Romans chapter 8. Those will be our two main texts. This morning I want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad to have you. It's certainly been good to be here already. That being said, it's 11:30. I'm going to do my best to keep us on track. And to say what I think needs to be said today. And I hope that you'll participate with us and you'll follow along in your Bibles and that we will make the best use of the time that we have here to offer to God and worship to Him. That being said, I want to get right into it. A virtue is a moral standard in which a society holds as something worthy. A virtue is something that a society will aspire towards. As such, a society will bring subtle and sometimes not so subtle influence and also pressure to see that those virtues are adhered to. And as a virtue becomes embraced and as it becomes absorbed into a society, it becomes stronger. But also, take it for granted as normal. Everyone should see the logic and the reasonableness and the virtue is often what happens. The mentality there, it just becomes something that we think everyone ought to see. And we become sometimes frustrated when they don't. It becomes ingrained. But virtues do change over time. Sometimes not for the better. Old virtues are questioned and new virtues are introduced. We're presently in the midst of a huge cultural shift, which is calling into question all kinds of virtues and also introducing new ones. Make no mistake, virtues are shaped and informed by someone's beliefs. Where beliefs change, logically then, so do virtues. The things that society esteems. Historically, America has been, by and large, shaped by Christian beliefs. But these beliefs no longer inform much of the American social landscape. You don't have to look very far to see that that's true. And as beliefs are changing, so too are the virtues that our society has upheld as a nation, as a country. And these moral standards that were once praised and valued are now questioned, sometimes ridiculed, sometimes even hated and disdained. And while we may be blind to the shift that's taking place in society, other cultures around us are not. They observe us and they see. The Middle East have coined a word called West-toxification. West-toxification, one word. And that is to express all that they fear and abhor about Western culture. They characterize us as naked women on the streets, rampant individualism, and entertainment on the lines of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette as they think that's all that this country espouses. This change is taking place in the American culture. And it is devaluing certain virtues that create an opportunity for the church to display the beauty and the wisdom of these virtues, which ought to be the fruit of our beliefs. See, I don't think we see this shift in culture as an opportunity, but it is. It's an opportunity. And that maybe we should change our minds in how we view that. The virtue of modesty can and should say something about us to everyone else who is watching. And so today I want to talk about maybe changing our minds about modesty. Interestingly enough, the word modesty does not appear that often in Scripture. But when it does appear, It can be translated in one of two main Greek words. One has to do with attitude, and one has to do with dress. And we find both uses of this in the passage in 1 Timothy 2:9. If you have your Bibles open there, we'll look at that in a second. For those wishing to follow along in their Bibles, I'll read the context starting in verse 8 and go through verse 10. Paul writes, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lift holy hands without anger and quarreling. Likewise, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel and modesty, self-control, not braided with braided hair and gold and pearls and costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. I read from the ESV. The NIV translates these words modesty and decency. The New American Standard translates them as proper dress and modesty. The Jerusalem Bible, it says women should be dressed quietly and modesty. And I think most of us can appreciate the subtlety of the differences between these two words. I hope that we can. We may speak of someone who is proficient at something, but always downplays compliments as being modest. Oh, you're just being modest. That's the attitude of modesty that is referred to. But we also may describe someone who is wearing clothes that are not glitzy and showy, and we may say that they are dressed modestly, not flashy. And so as we think of the virtue that we have in mind here, are we really talking about an inward disposition of modesty that is modeled in life, and in particular, not exclusively of the way one dresses? What does it mean to be modest? You see, while all those who are striving to reflect the beliefs of the kingdom embrace modesty as a virtue, it is culturally interpreted. If you don't believe that, try and buy shorts for your daughter this summer for camp. Good luck. We adhere to the camp dress code best we can. But to find shorts for young ladies that come past the knees is not something that's done in our culture. Good luck. You may end up having to just make your own because you won't find them. Our culture has interpreted modestly than a different standard than what we have. That is why the virtue of modesty cannot be spelled out as a set of rules that must be adhered to, and why modesty can't be boiled down to a list of regulations about dress. Modesty has been influenced by the context. How can we be sure then that we're being modest? What does it mean to be modest if it isn't simply a set of rules that we follow? I would guess that many of us would just assume that modesty has to do with not showing too much skin. But what's interesting about the text in Timothy is that it didn't have anything to do with showing too much skin. It didn't have anything to do with showing one's body. It had to do with dressing too ornate. Immodesty is a form of pride. To be immodest is to call attention to oneself, be it by boasting of what you can do, or showing off in front of others, or calling attention to oneself by the way we dress. To be modest is to guard yourself from calling unnecessary attention towards yourself or your attributes. You see, and as soon as I said modesty, I could feel eyes roll and arms cross. But I want you to hear me out. This lesson is not directed at women. Ladies, this lesson isn't directed at you. This is not a body-shaming lesson for the ladies, nor is it a self-control lecture for men in their eyes. What I hope it will be is a fresh perspective on a much-needed aspect of the Christian life. Modesty is a virtue that must begin in the mind. As people who bear the name Christian, we implicitly are to also bear an image of the one we are named after. Modesty is not so much about a dress code as it is a heart code, a desire to serve rather than to be served, a desire to be selfless rather than to be selfish, to be uniquely identifiable as Christian. In Romans chapter 8 that I mentioned, notice what Paul says here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. You should circle that in your Bible. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Write it down. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. This is the why. Modesty is the what. Modesty is simply the what. This is why. This is why. For both men and women alike, for Christians, this is a must. So easily I could say to the men, we absolutely have a responsibility to keep our eyes at bay. We have a responsibility to our sisters in Christ to keep our minds focused on things above and not the flesh, like Job. We must make a covenant with our eyes that we might not look on a woman with lustful intent. Y'all, these are our sisters. These are our sisters. What would you do or how would you feel about men who ogle over your sisters by birth? I can tell you what I would do after church today. And I could easily also say to the ladies, please try and understand how difficult this can be for us. Dr. Peter Rosenthal of the Cambridge School of Psychology suggests that it only takes an average of the average man less than 3 seconds. 3 seconds to see a provocatively dressed woman and create a vivid snapshot in the mind with detail that can be recalled to mind at will and maybe even flash into his mind periodically at random moments for the rest of his life, depending on his mental capabilities and memory. 3 seconds is all that it takes. I don't have to stare. I just have to accidentally notice. And it's there. These are your brothers. And none of you would want your brothers to think of you this way either. But I would rather give you something else in this lesson. I could go on and on for that. I would rather give you something useful, a way to remember the why. A way to remember the why modesty should be practiced and loved, not viewed as a list of made-up measurements and rules. But as a motivation of the heart. So what I hope to do is give you 7 ways to consider our mutual responsibilities to one another, as well as our responsibility to Christ, to maybe change the way we view this issue, rather than rolling our eyes and crossing our arms. We'll run to it, and we'll embrace the virtue of modesty for what it is. It is the way we tell the world who we are. It is the way that we tell the world whose we are. Remember, covering ourselves modestly is not about hiding ourselves. It is about revealing ourselves. And who we show the world we claim to be. I want to be modest because I want to make it known that I am a foreigner. I want to make it known that I am a sojourner. In 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation." What can someone say about you negatively for not revealing your body in the way that you dress? Go ahead, I'll wait. Because the truth is, they can't really say anything negatively. Oh, they can make fun of you. But what can they really say about you for not revealing your body? They can't. They can't. More than that, what message can we send when more emphasis is put on our character rather than our bodies? The message that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." So let our good deeds glorify God and our modesty keep us from gossip and evil speech. Opting to change my lifestyle and my mindset is the second way. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." How often do you do that? Every single day we renew our mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Modesty sends an absolute message that says, not only is this world not my home, but its ways are not mine either. Paul said, "It is not I that lives, but Christ that lives within me," in Galatians 2:20, suggesting that our lifestyle and our mindset be intentional regarding faith in Christ. That it will be through a conscious determination that I express modesty over selfishness and carnality. Third, that I will draw attention to God and not myself in the way that I dress. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "In this way, let your light shine before others so they can glorify me." He says, "No, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As Christians, all that we do in word or deed is done first by the authority of Christ. It is only logical then that also whatever we do in word or deed, because of that, should glorify Him. That if whatever I do in word or deed is by His authority, then whatever I do will glorify Him. That would include the way we present ourselves to the world. Can they see God in our words? Can they see God in our actions? If the answer to those two questions is yes, then friends, they can also see Him in our modesty. That is what we reveal. I'm not trying to hide myself. I'm trying to reveal myself in my modesty and what I profess and what I believe and my identity then. Establishing my identity in Christ. John 15, verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." You want to know how people know who we are and whose we are? How we establish our identity in Christ? It is this very text. Modesty is one of many ways that we show love for one another, by not making each other stumble. It is also the way we establish our identity in Christ, by sacrificing for one another. There are plenty of times, friends, I know, there are plenty of times when simply throwing on something that's comfortable is way easier than thoughtfully picking something out to not cause another stumble. I get it. I understand. But Jesus says, lay down for one another. Sacrifice. Sacrifice and establish our identity in Christ. That we can serve God and not try to impress people. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." There is no friendship, y'all. There is no friendship. There is no status. There is no amount of popularity that is comparable to our relationship with God. None. Being modest in spirit and in dress sends the message that what God says about me and what God sees in me is far more important than what the world thinks. This is the embodiment of being a light set on a hill. This is what it means to be a light. T is the standards of the Savior never change. The standard. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Styles change. Cultures change. Virtues change. And because of that, the way that we view them will also, but Jesus does not change. And no, Jesus himself never mentioned how to dress your body in his life here on earth, but he did mention how to dress your heart. Luke 8, verse 15, he says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Paul and Peter, both inspired by the Holy Spirit, later said in Colossians 3:12, Paul said, "Put on then." You want to know what to wear? Listen to Paul. He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. Put on then kindness. Put on then humility. Put on then meekness and patience." Paul said in Romans 13, 14, he says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." What are you going to wear? Put on Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. God hasn't changed his mind about that. Our culture and our society loves to tell us all the time, get with the times, preacher. Your antiquated book is cute and all, but get with the times. Jesus Christ doesn't change. God has not changed his mind about this. And because he does not, neither does his word, neither does his expectation for his creation and our adherence to it. Make no mistake, friends. No matter how much society says that the Bible's out of date, it remains relevant as ever. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." God has not changed his mind on this issue. His standard doesn't change. And finally, why your body is not your own, but it is the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And while the context of this passage is not blind to me, that the context of this passage is more in line with that of sexual immorality, there's no denying the fact that often, in many cases, it is an immodesty and the behavior that's associated with it that leads to immorality. So the principle still applies. Modesty sends the message that I see value in myself, that I see my worth. What Christ sees in me is what I see. And that value came at a high cost, and to that I owe everything. So yes, I'll sacrifice being cute to glorify my God. I know my worth, and it's not society's view of me, but it's his. So I will change my mind, and I will change my actions. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Think about these things. Colossians 3, 2, "Set your minds on the things that are above and not the things on the earth." This is for all of us. Modesty is not simply a list of rules for girls. It is a series of principles for the Christian that will ultimately affect everything that we do. It will affect the way that we dress. It will affect the way that we present ourselves. It will affect the way that we think, or it ought to. Too long have these messages been directed at young women. This message is for all of us. Be modest in heart, and the body will follow. Be modest in heart, and the mind will follow. Be modest in heart, and the actions will follow. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, and from it flow the springs of life." Brethren, I hope that we can see that modesty is much more an issue of the heart than an issue of clothing. The clothing is only a symptom of a much bigger problem. So tell me, how is your heart? How is your heart? Is it a heart that seeks after God? Is it a heart that is intentional in all that it does? Is it a heart that proclaims to the world, "I'm his and not yours"? "I'm a daughter of the King," or "I am a son of the Most High God." And you, world, cannot have me. You cannot have my mind. You cannot have my body, for they are hidden in Christ. How's your heart? To be modest, you have to be bold. And it's funny because those two words don't go together. And yet, In our culture, to be modest, you have to be bold. Change your mind and change your heart. Take a stand. Change your mind about modesty. I hope that your heart's good. And if not, it can be. You can change your mind. You can change your heart. You can change the way that you think. You can recognize that you were bought and that if the Spirit of God is in you, then you have the proper motivation already. You have the right why, that everything that you do will follow after. If you're here and you're not a Christian,